Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high, and you hit 'em low, hit 'em low.
Going straight to the hole. Your ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take a earth shaker, 3-point gun in this. Get off the lane. I'm coming through, and if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step. I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough. Your whole squad better duck. It's like Swiss when I bust. Now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rango. Tell me who won a tango with together with Stock, the neighborhood superhero.
Pain upon the brain, untamed. You will like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. As free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up out my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk.
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the ref get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, top of flavor, fluid, so pretty flow.
Welcome to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. It's Rocket, late as late can get. My sincere apologies for the delays, but it's been that kind of day today. I want to say shout out to everybody that's going out to vote, that voted already, or that's getting ready to vote, or will vote before this day is over. It's a big day. It's one of these days that will never, ever be forgotten. We don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to try and get through some of these highlights as quickly as I can. First of all, congratulations to the Chicago Cubs for winning the World Series last week. Last Wednesday was one of the best game sevens I've ever seen in the World Series. It was one of the best World Series matchups, period. It came down to seven games. Cleveland blew it. Now they know what the Warriors are like. And it's kind of like on the flip side. Think about this. Indians, when they took on the Warriors, they were up. Well, they were down 3-1. And they came back and won. Now, their counterpart team, the Indians, were up 3-1 on Golden State. I mean, up 3-1 on Chicago. And lost. It really should have come down to a game seven. You would have thought that Cleveland was going to close it out, but really, they were in control for what it's worth. Now, the first game held in Cleveland, Indians won. They actually won 6-0. So it was a total shutout. So they sent a strong message at the game. Chicago came back, responded, won game 2-5-1. Game three, they won. Cleveland won 1-0. So that's two shutouts that they had over the Cubs. Game four, they won again in Chicago, this time 7-2. So you would think, okay, they got at least two more games, or one game for sure. They should have this game decided, the series decided. So game five, back at Wrigley Field, Cubs win 3-2. And they scored all three of their runs in the fourth inning, and they held on for what looked like was going to be a late Cleveland rally. And then game six was a good one too, especially with the whole controversy surrounding Chapman and the decision for Madden to put him in the game, knowing that you had a comfortable lead and that you knew you were going to need him for game seven. So there was a little bit of a head scratch there, but Cubs won 9-3, setting up this brilliant game seven, which came down to 10 innings, by the way. Both teams scored at least one run in the inning. Now, Aroldis Chapman did get the win, and he played well. Cubs got off to a fast start. They were actually up 5-1 going to the bottom of the fifth inning. Indians added two runs, then the Cubs added another run in the sixth. And then Cleveland with a 3-run eighth inning, including a 2-run homer by former Tiger Rajay Davis to tie up the game. Neither team could do anything in the ninth inning, so we went into an extra inning. And there was a bit of a rain delay. It was about 20 minutes. And the teams had to wait. They had to put the tarp on the field to keep the field from being super wet. Some people felt like it kind of benefited Chicago a little bit. I think that's, cliche, to say the least. But nonetheless, it was a good game. Cubs added two runs in the 10th inning, and they held on to win, even though the Indians scored one run. Once they got that final out, that was it. That was it. Hats off to David Ross. He's the oldest player to ever hit a home run in the World Series. This man is 39 years old. And that was his final game. He is now officially retired, and he goes out a champion. So congratulations. Congratulations to all these guys. And Steve Bartman can come out from hiding now. I wonder what he looks like. He probably bald. He might have a goatee. He might have sprays or something. He might not look like he did back in 2003, because that was the last time any of us saw him. I feel a lot happy knowing that his life is no longer in seclusion. So, 108 years it had been since the Cubs last won the World Series. 108 years. And the last time he was in the World Series was 1969. So they have come a long way. This curse is over. It's done. Everybody can move on now. With that in mind, the Arizona Cardinals now hold the longest pro streak in pro sports without winning a championship, 1951. That is a long time ago. So, hats off to the Cubs. They did their thing. They did their thing. And I look forward to seeing what happens next year, because these two teams definitely can come back and play each other again. The Indians, certainly, as long as they keep their team intact, because they got some good players. They got a strong pitching staff. Roberto Perez, Carlos Santana, Jose Ramirez, of course, Roger Davis. You know, he disappointed me when he was with the Tigers. They got some players to work with. So, one thing I noticed about the MLB, it's been tough to repeat as World Series champs. It's been tough to get back there and defend your crown again. You play so many games, it's tough to even get to the playoffs. It's tough to win your spinning division. It's tough, period. So, the Cubs had the best record in Major League Baseball. They won 100-plus games, and they definitely deserved it. By far, they were the best team. This team won 103 games. 103. So, hats off to Joe Maddon. This was a phenomenal World Series matchup. Because of the whole drama and everything, the team's history, it was everything. It had everything that you needed. So, hats off to the two teams. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into week 9 of the NFL, and it was a crazy one, including the cap off what went down last night. I am going to talk about it a little bit, and then some of these other games. Some of these teams are in trouble right now. So stay tuned. Go pay you some bills. You know, if you got to get to a poll real quick, go do your thing. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
With you by my side. The business.
Welcome back to Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're getting into week 9 of the NFL, and it was hectic to say the least. It started with that crazy game between the Falcons and Buccaneers. Two teams actually had a rematch from week 1. Tampa Bay had beaten Atlanta, so Atlanta went on that crazy win streak. So this is the rematch game, but both teams are kind of look different since, especially Atlanta. That offense right now is the best in football. Matt Ryan is putting up Pro Bowl numbers. He's putting up MVP-type numbers. Right now, him, Tom Brady, and Matt Stafford are the top two quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And I would even put Dak Prescott at number 4. And Derek Carr at number 5 right now. Those are the 5 best quarterbacks in football right now. But Matt Ryan has been right now. Out the season 5-0, they didn't even make the playoffs. So, this team, though, for some reason, they look a little, and I think the reason why you have to give them a shot to win the NFC South is because of the way that division is built. Teams like Tampa Bay, Carolina, and New Orleans just not collectively getting it going. And with the Falcons having a winning record, and getting off the fast start that they've gotten off to, you definitely have to give them a nod. Sure. Now, this team has not been in the playoffs since 2012 when they lost that heartbreaking NFC championship game at home to San Francisco. And I think it took them a while to recover from that. And they lit up the Buccaneers last Thursday night, 43-28. Matt Ryan threw 4 touchdown passes. I mean, he was straight up light out. He got completed 73.5% passes with a 144.7 passer rating. Now, James Winston didn't play that bad either, but he sacked 3 times, and he had a fumble loss, which really didn't bode well for him. Mike Glennon came in and released him for a while. He went 10 of 11 for 35 touchdowns. So, Buckley's quarterback was trying to get touchdown passes on Thursday night. It was a good high scoring game. Definitely a game that we needed to see on a Thursday night, because these Thursday night games up to that point have been so crappy. It was good to finally see a breakout game on a Thursday night with two teams just really going at it and putting up points and just, you know, coming at you. Devontae Freeman ran 77 yards. Taylor Gabriel had a touchdown run. But really, though, it's about the Falcons offense. They are just making things happen and making things happen on the season. They're 6-3 right now, so they're holding down the first place spot in the NFC South. So, how long can they hold it down? Will we see a repeat of last year? We'll find out. Going on Sunday, once again, talk more about the Cleveland Browns. Cowboys just kind of ripped them a new one. Dak Prescott is putting up phenomenal numbers. Now, I say keep him as your quarterback. I don't care how healthy Tony Romo claims to be. He roll with the wagon that is rolling properly. But I'm trying to make something that makes sense, I guess. But what I'm basically saying is, if the wheels fall off, you make a change. And the wheels have not fallen off to Dak Prescott anyway. As your starter. Now, with the 3 touchdown passes, he had a 141.8 pass rating. He completed about 58% of the passes. He's definitely one of the top quarterbacks this year. You never thought you'd say that about a rookie quarterback, but he has been playing good football. And the way I see it, you keep him in there. Just keep him in there. There's no need to make a change. Unless he starts to struggle, because you never know with these rookie quarterbacks. Some rookie quarterbacks can get off to fast starts, and then they start to struggle midway through the season and even towards the end of the season. But keep it going. Now, they got a game against Pittsburgh next week. That should be a fun one to watch if you want to see some offense and stuff like that. I'll get to Pittsburgh in just a moment. But all of a sudden, Cowboys now are 7-1. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? And they're doing it without Dez Bryant being totally productive. I mean, he was out for a month with an injury, and he just came back. And he only caught one pass of 19 yards. Jason Witten was the star in this game. Cole Beasley caught a few passes. He got a score. But they're spreading this ball around. I mean, other guys are getting involved with the offense. Terrence Williams, you can't forget him. Bryce Butler, Gavin Escobar. They're spreading the ball around. So that's what makes them so elusive and so dangerous, is that they are spreading the ball around. The defense has been coming around nicely, but look, it's Cleveland. It's Cleveland, you know. Now, Cody Kessler played well. He was sacked four times, but, you know, that offensive line has been suspect all year. And they're not really running the football well. This team's a complete mess, and they have been competing in most of these games, you know, but I feel bad for Hugh Jackson because he's been relegated to this, and this should be a better situation for the Browns, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better. Now, I think the Browns can win at least one or two games before this season's over. I seriously hope they can. They were going to win this game, though. It just wasn't going to happen. The Cowboys are too much of a juggernaut right now, and I just didn't think that the Browns could really compete with the Cowboys in this game. The Cowboys are just too powerful. Now, like I said, the Browns have been competitive for most of the season in a lot of these games, but being competitive don't mean nothing if you can't win, if you can't finish off wins, if you can't, you know, come through in the fourth quarter and all of a sudden you're just not getting the job done. They're 0-9. They got 7 games left. And it's not going to get any easier. They got to go to Baltimore on Thursday night. I'll predict that game later in the show. Baltimore's going to win. I'm just going to throw it out there now, but I'm going to make a prediction. And the rest of my predictions later in that broadcast. Then they got Pittsburgh at home. Then the Giants at home. Then after their bye week, they got Cincinnati at home. At Buffalo, home to San Diego, and then at Pittsburgh to close out the season. I think they can win 2 games. 2 of those games. I think they can beat San Diego on Christmas Eve, and I think they can possibly even beat Cincinnati at home. Now, they had already played Cincinnati. It was a tough loss, but they were competitive for much of the game. And the Giants, well, Giants are a team you really can't trust, and you never know what Giants team you're going to get from a week-to-week basis. So they could possibly win that game, but I can't see them going to Baltimore and winning because they had the chance to beat Baltimore. Remember, in that game, they were up 20-2 back in week 2, and they let the Ravens will off 23 straight points to win that game. I can't see them winning any other game. I can't see them beating Pittsburgh at all, and they're going to lose them twice. I can't see them winning at Buffalo. If they're going to win, that San Diego game on Christmas Eve is definitely their best chance to win a game, at least one game. And that one game is all they need to avoid a winless season. I hope it doesn't happen, because you don't want to see that happen to any team. So I think if they're going to win, that's the one game that they got a shot to win, even though that's like about a month and a half away. But I still think they got a shot. Now, speaking of Pittsburgh, if you watched the end of this game, you probably broke your television set. There's really, I can't even begin to describe to you what was going on in this game. I couldn't quite understand it. All right, first of all, Steelers lost at Baltimore. And really the Ravens have had Steelers number these last two and a half years, including the playoffs a couple years ago. The Ravens needed this win because they've been kind of a weird story this year. They get off to an undefeated start, and they lose these games. They go on a ridiculous losing streak, and now they're back to what, 500 now. It's just been a weird team. They've been a weird team this year. But one thing they can count on is Pittsburgh at home, for sure. For sure. The Ravens won 21-14, and the Pittsburgh didn't score those 14 points until the fourth quarter, so they were already down 21-0. Ben Roethlisberger came back after being out a week with his injury. He threw 24 yards. Those two touchdown passes. Really, the Steelers' defense was different. Now, obviously, the play of this game is what was the first quarter game. Joe Flacco throwing to the former Steelers, Mike Wallace, for a 95-yard touchdown. And if you saw the play, you were kind of like looking at this for a second, like, are you guys using to tackle this dude? I saw no effort on that touchdown play, none. 95-yard, any touchdown pass that goes beyond 85 yards or 90, that's got to be a lack of tackling, lack of coverage, and you should never allow that to happen. Just watch the replay. You'll see what I'm talking about. And then Justin Tucker with a pair of field goals, and then Baltimore blocked a punt and returned it for 14 yards, and they converted a two-point attempt. And they pretty much held on to win. They held on what would look like was going to be a late Pittsburgh rally. Now, Roethlisberger had a touchdown pass and a touchdown run in this game. So, yeah, two touchdowns. So, basically, at the end of after Pittsburgh's second score, I thought we were watching hacky sack for a second because I'm trying to figure out what the hell is Chris Boswell doing. What kind of onside kick attempt was that? I've never seen nothing like that ever, like before, and I don't think we'll see anything like that again. I hope not. I hope kickers aren't that foolish. But that was a wacky play. That's one of those, you know, top 10 football fails of 2016, and that might be number one. You know, I couldn't quite understand that, but all of a sudden, the AFC North is starting to look very wide open, with an exception of Cleveland, because now you got Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Both teams are 4-4. Baltimore now is technically holding the tiebreaker. And you got Cincinnati, who had the tie with Washington last week. They're 3-4-1. They didn't play this Sunday. But they'll be back on the field next week. I would laugh if Cleveland comes back and, like, let's say they win 7 straight games and Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Well, Baltimore and Pittsburgh finishes 7. I would laugh if something like that happens. But something's got to give in the AFC North because nobody expected it to be like this at this juncture of the season. You got two teams 4-4. You got Cincinnati, who's a half game behind. And really, there's some issues with both Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Pittsburgh was the defense. They can't cover nobody. They can't shut down nobody. And people had them as a possible Super Bowl threat in the AFC. No, that's not happening. They'll be lucky if they make the postseason. Because I think what's going to happen is one team from this division is probably going to end up getting in the playoffs. We have used to see 3 teams in the AFC North get to the playoffs since 2011. And it's always been Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. But I got a feeling that we finally see one team representing AFC North in the postseason this year. And that's whoever wins the division, of course. It could be Baltimore. I'm just saying. I never thought that would be possible. But that's what we're looking at right now. From the AFC North to the NFC North, we have a new title contender right now. And that is my hometown team, Detroit. Winning that game against Minnesota really said something about the fact that this team, they can have these leads going into the fourth quarter, blow the lead, get the lead back by the end of regulation, and even do something as miraculous as winning in overtime. And that's what happened in this particular game. They were in control going all the way towards maybe the end of the fourth quarter. They were up 16-13. Actually, no, they were up by they were actually up 16. Well, actually, they were up 13-9. Minnesota came back and scored that late touchdown with about 25 seconds to play. But I thought that there were some other issues that kept Minnesota from really winning this game. And for starters, Blair Walsh, I think he's kind of going through a little depression right now. I still don't think this guy recovered from the playoff loss to Seattle, missing that 22-yard chip shot. I don't think he's recovered from that. And all you got to do is just watch his body language. He doesn't seem like he's recovered from that. First of all, he missed a point. He missed an extra point attempt in the third quarter after Minnesota scored a touchdown, which should have tied the game, but they were still down 10-9 going into the fourth quarter. Then at one point, they went for it on fourth down where they could have just kicked field goal and had gone down by 1 point. They would have been down 13-12 if they had kicked a field goal, if they chose to kick the field goal. They didn't get it. It was fourth and inches practically, and they didn't get it. They tried to sneak it up the middle. They tried to run up the middle with Matt Asiata, and that didn't happen. But Detroit really couldn't do anything with the ball. So eventually Minnesota gets the ball. They score a touchdown with, like I said, with 23 seconds left, actually. 23 seconds to be exact. Detroit gets the ball. No timeouts really to work with. Matt Stafford completes a couple passes, including one up the middle, which was a bomb to Andre Roberts. It's down and they spike it with about 2 seconds left. Matt Prater kicks a game time 50-yard field. I mean, that kick was so smooth. I was like, oh my goodness. Man, Matt Prater probably has the best foot in the NFL right now. So they go into overtime, Detroit gets the ball, and they don't relinquish it. Stafford completes a couple passes. Mostly on third down, and this game winning score to Golden Tate for 20 yards was actually on third down, third and long. Golden Tate gets the ball. He squeezes between two defenders, breaks a tackle, flips into the end zone. He does like a little moonsault, like he's Jeff Hardy or something, and they win the game 22-16. And it was one of those well watched games, you know, between two longtime division rivals. And Detroit was the first team to win at Minnesota's new stadium this year. They're a half game behind the Vikings now, who have lost three straight. And Detroit has now won four of their last five after that 1-3 start. Stafford completed 23-36 passes for 219 yards, blue touchdown. He did throw a bad interception, but, you know, he'll do that from time to time. Sam Bradford, though, played well, 31-40, 273 yards. He got sacked a couple times. Like I said, Minnesota's offensive line has been suspect ever since that loss to Philadelphia. But they cannot run the football. Ronnie Hillman only had 7 carries, 30 yards. Asiata, 9 carries, 27 yards. They need Adrian Peterson back if they have any Super Bowl aspirations. They will not even win a playoff game if they don't have him. And they seriously need to get him back. Whenever, whether it's week 16, week 17, or the wild card round, or whenever, they need him back because they're losing games. They lost that Monday night loss to Chicago was inexcusable. Now Chicago has 2 wins in the NFC North, both at home against Minnesota and Detroit. But that game, Minnesota's offense is just totally shut down for the most part. Now, like I said, they've lost 3 straight. They play Detroit again in 2 weeks at Ford Field. That's not going to be easy for them because Detroit has won 3 straight at home. They're 3-1 at home overall. It should have been 4-0, but it's not going to be easy. It's just not going to be easy. So, it's just not going to be easy. So, before we go to break, I just wanted to take a look at a couple other things. As far as Detroit defensive line is concerned, I am loving Kerry Hyder right now. I love him. I love that guy. He is by far the heroic hero on the defensive line. Vic Yonsei has yet to get a sack this season. And obviously he's missed some games. He's been gone for about a month. He actually just came back last week. But Kerry Hyder, who barely made the roster from the preseason, it's just been racking up sacks this year. He had both Detroit sacks in this game. And this guy's not even a starter. So take that for what it's worth. He's had the opportunity to come in and play. He's made the most of it. Golden Tate had another great game. He's definitely been balling since being benched in Chicago in, earlier this year. He caught 11 passes for 79 yards in that game-winning touchdown score. Eric Ebron, 7 catches for 92 yards. He played phenomenal. Anquan Boldin caught a touchdown. He only had 2 catches for 10 yards, but he did catch that touchdown pass of 9 yards. So he's been playing well. Marvin Jones had a quiet game, just 1 catch for 5 yards, but he's still been balling this year. I like Stephon Diggs from Minnesota. The guy is good. He's a dual threat as a receiver and even a receiver out of the backfield, you know, catching screens and things like that. Cordarrelle Patterson is dangerous. Adam Thielen. And I like Kyle Rudolph, the tight end. But Minnesota needs more offensively because they're not going to win games where, you know, it's just the defense. They got to be able to score some points and be productive, and they haven't really been doing that these last few weeks. When that offensive line is struggling, they've been beat up with injuries. They're going to get some guys back soon, some key guys, but they cannot pick up the blitz. So they got to do something. They got to figure something out. Now, they travel to Washington next week. That's not going to be an easy game for them because Washington's been playing well at home. Then they got Arizona at home after that, and then at Detroit, and then home to Dallas to start off December. So these are not going to be easy games for them. So, you know, and keep in mind, they still got to play Green Bay again. Even though they beat them early this year, barely, but still. But they got to be able to score some points because scoring 10, 10, and then 16, not going to get it done if you're trying to be a division contender and a Super Bowl contender. You got to be able to score some more points and stuff. And obviously, North Turner stepping down as offensive coordinator was only part of the problem. There's still some other issues with this team. As for Detroit, they go into the bye week with a winning record. Then after that, they come home. They got Jacksonville at home, and then they got Minnesota at home on Thanksgiving. That's a Thanksgiving matchup, so that should be an interesting one. That'll be their first division game against Minnesota since 1995, so it's been a long time. It's been a long time since the Vikings played on Thanksgiving, too. So now we're going to take another break. We got some more football to talk about. We got one more hour left of our broadcast, and we got some NBA, some NHL games, and things like that. So stay tuned. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Thank you. Sports Breakdown. Just after 2 o'clock, we still got some more football talk. I'm trying to keep this coming a little quicker. One of the other big matches that took place early on Sunday was the Eagles and Giants. The Eagles are now struggling. Philadelphia and Minnesota a month ago looked like the two best teams in the NFC, and now they're both kind of like in the muddy middle in a sense. They lose at the Giants 28-23. Carson Wentz did not play pretty well. He did not play well at all. But, you know, there's growing pains with these rookie quarterbacks. It takes time. You have a lot of development to do. There's a lot that you have to kind of understand and everything. You might get off to a fast start, and all of a sudden, there's some adversity that you have to get through. And this was no exception. It was a competitive game. It looked like the Eagles were going to come back and win after Eli Manning threw an interception. But the Giants held on to win. It was a tough fourth down play that the Eagles attempted. They didn't convert it, unfortunately. And the Giants, they basically escaped with their teeth. They were up 28-17. Philadelphia got a field goal. Actually, got two field goals by Caleb Sturgis. And then about 4 minutes before the Giants took the ball back, Eli Manning goes to interception. He actually did two picks in the game. So did Carson Wentz. Even though he threw for 364 yards, but two interceptions, two sacks, no touchdowns. I mean, they still had a chance to win. But they didn't make the right plays down the stretch. I'll just say that. The fourth down attempt would have been tough for any team to try and convert. Trying to get the ball to Jordan Matthews. And it was good coverage too, by the way. I didn't see no hold or anything. I didn't see no pass interference. It was just a tough throw, and it would have been a tough catch to make. Giants are now 5-3. They're two games behind the Cowboys. At least they beat the Cowboys already, so they kind of own the bragging rights a little bit, especially if it comes down to these two teams for division supremacy later this season. They're 5-3. The Eagles are 4-4. And what looked like was the most competitive division in the entire NFL, and even the Redskins with that tie, it's like, here we go again, NFC East. The Eagles are 4-4, and they kind of are in trouble a little bit. But like I said, there's some growing pains of Carson Wentz. Got a rookie quarterback. They'll be all right. They'll be fine. Regardless if they make the playoffs this year or not, but they are taking the right step. That's for sure. But they do need to run the ball better. Now, obviously, the Giants have done well against the run. But, you know, Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood, Ryan Matthews. The Eagles actually ran the ball for about 100 yards in this game. It's just that they need more production. I'll say that. Take some pressure off of Carson Wentz. Get these receivers going. Zach Ertz, Jordan Matthews, Trey Burton. Get these guys going. Just get them going. Like I said, the Giants are 5-3. And they're playing some inspired football now. Odell Beckham is now getting his head out of his ass. So, hats off to them. That division is going to be a very interesting run down the stretch. I just honestly believe that. From one New York team to another, the Jets are just kind of looking like, you know, this wasn't supposed to happen this year. Fingers are kind of being pointed. They're just being pointed. It started with Ryan Fitzpatrick, the time to stay above the front office last week. You know, the Jets won their game in Cleveland or whatever. And you know, just being out again. It was a tough one. They are giant in the hottest fashion in football right now. This guy just started coming on the scene about a month ago. He ran 24 times for 100 yards against what was supposed to be a And now the Jets have got the back to the 16th. Almost like the Cardinals, they have three games. Three home games, and take care of business at home. That's basically what it is. So, a day at night, though, is playing for the Spurs. So, I like it. Got a great personality. Who's the one I'm going to do? Not just trying to make the best of the time as well. So, hats off to him. Now, the Jets in the fourth quarter, in this game is what happened with Travis Kelce. My man lost his, he lost his stat. I'll put it to you that way. My man was just absolutely hysterical. Oh, man. To see his reaction was just absolutely phenomenal. It was funny. It was definitely funny. It was just funny, just absolutely funny. You got to go back and watch it. Just watch the replay. Watch him having a total meltdown. He was complaining to the referees about being held in the red zone play where he tried to make a catch for a touchdown. And he lost himself, man. He just absolutely went hysterical. And I was just kind of laughing like, wow, referees won't hesitate. First of all, he threw something at the referee, and I thought that was funny. So you knew that ejection was coming. You knew it was definitely coming. But Jacksonville, what a disappointment. They're 2-6. What a disappointment. Just an absolute disappointment. But hats off to the Chiefs. They're gonna get done quietly. And kudos. I'm paying attention to them. I am. I kind of picked them to win the division at the start of the season because I wasn't sure about Denver regarding the quarterback situation. But this is going to be another interesting race. Most of these divisions are looking like interesting races. We got three divisions in the AFC right now. The AFC West, the AFC North, and the AFC South. The AFC East to me has already been decided. The Patriots, they got that. Then in the NFC, you got the NFC East. You know, Dallas is dominating, but the Giants are 2 games back. The Eagles are 3 games back. Can't count them out yet. The NFC North, you got Detroit up there with Minnesota. Green Bay's in the picture. And then the NFC. Well, the NFC West, Seattle right now is on top, and I'm not counting out Arizona. Not yet, anyway. So, but it's definitely a interesting race for sure. So, it's definitely an interesting one. Keeping it going, because this is what we do on the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Keeping it going. Getting into some of these afternoon games. Panthers won. They beat the Rams 13-10. Cam Newton's been complaining about hits and stuff. I'm kind of getting annoyed by it, because last year this guy came out and said, if you have a problem with me with the excessive celebrations and doing the dab, do something about it. Well, Cam, they are doing something about it, and now all of a sudden you don't like it? He's a baby. He's just a big baby, as far as I'm concerned. Just a big baby. You know, he nags, he complains. You know, he needs a bib. Seriously. Now, this guy got sacked 5 times in this game. Well, the Rams do have a good defensive line, and they know how to get after the quarterback. That's Russell Wilson. But that Panthers offensive line, to me, is still suspect. But this was a low-scoring game. He got Cam was sacked 5 times in this game, and as far as Case Keenum was sacked 4 times, and he is still staying as the quarterback. Jeff Fisher is not going to pull the plug on for Jared Goff yet, so maybe he probably will before the season's over. But we've seen rookie quarterbacks drafted number 1 overall that sat the whole season. Carson Palmer, it happened with him. And then 2 years later, he was, you know, regular season MVP. So not to say that that's going to happen in this case, but one thing we've seen in football is that you just never know what's going to happen with, you know, these quarterbacks. But Jared Goff is the only rookie quarterback that has yet to take a snap in a regular season game. So, yeah, it is head-scratching, and it's even mind-boggling to even think about it. But the Panthers win. Both teams are 3-5. Panthers are actually last place in their division. They're 3-5. They're in last place. They haven't even won any division games yet, so that's been an issue. And the Rams, they're third place, but they had the West. They actually lost 4 straight. They were 3-1. Remember, 3-1. They were 3-1. They lost 4 straight, and a lot of those games were close. Detroit, the Giants, this game, and a lot of these games were just close. But yeah, it might be time to throw in Jared Goff soon, just to see what you've got. Just to see what you've got. Now we got another NFC South, NFC West matchup. The Saints, they're 4-4. They're actually in second place, so they're about 2 games back of the Falcons. They beat San Francisco 41-23. And one of those games where, hey, the Saints needed to win. They just needed to win, period. They needed to win because you cannot afford to lose to San Francisco. I'm sorry. You just can't afford to lose to them. Nobody should at this point. They're the worst team in the NFC by far. Some people say they're worse than Cleveland, because at least Cleveland's competitive in these games, but San Francisco has lost 7 in a row since beating the Rams on opening night. Yeah, isn't that interesting? That's kind of like, huh, what? I know they've had some tough games, but that's just inexcusable. The Saints were coming off a big win against Seattle last week, and that carried over into this game, apparently. They took care of business, as they should have. Drew Brees played like Drew Brees. What more do you need to know? 49ers, they are beyond in disarray. Definitely beyond in disarray. But the Saints are 4-4. They're back up to 500. And it's kind of interesting. I want to see what this team is going to look like, because they have not been in the playoffs since 2013. So can they finally break through And remember, this team, they play the Falcons again. And these two teams are capable of beating each other at home, on the road. So that's something to keep your hat on as far as the Saints in a possible run to compete with the Falcons for the NFC South. And you don't want to really rule out the Panthers either. They're three games back. It's always a tale of two halves in football. Teams get off the fast starts and then they lose. They have these meltdowns. They have these collapses. And some of these teams don't even make the playoffs. Remember, the Falcons last year were, 5-0, 6-0, didn't even make the playoffs. So, not saying that history will repeat itself, but that's definitely something to think about. And as far as the Saints and Panthers are concerned, you know, just keep winning games, get back to your winning ways, and see if you can crack, you know, first place supremacy. It's definitely a long shot. Well, not that long of a shot, but it's a shot. It's definitely a shot. The big game that took place on Sunday afternoon was the Colts and the Packers. The Colts won 31-26. I want to send a shout out to the Colts. You did the Lions a favor by winning this game, keeping Green Bay at bay. Aaron Rodgers was not a happy camper after this game. You know, you're not seeing no discount double check celebrations this year. And rightfully so. The Packers are 4-4. And you lose a game like this, and it's like, well, what's going on here? Because this was the best run defense in football. And obviously, the Colts ran the ball for 85 yards in this game. Frank Gore had 60 of them and a couple touchdowns. But it's something else. I think Aaron Rodgers has just not been himself. Now, he played all right in this game. He completed 60.5% of the passes. He was sacked three times. The offensive line's not helping him. They're not doing a great job blocking. The running backs aren't doing well. Obviously, Eddie Lacy, the loss is kind of more haunting and more disconcerting than we realized. Ty Montgomery only had the 7 carries, 53 yards, so this team is going to throw the ball a lot. Aaron Rodgers threw 43 passes in this game. But there's something else. I think the defense is just not getting the stops. Guys are beat up right now. And I still don't think Jordy Nelson has been himself. He has just not been himself. Now, he played well. He caught 7 passes for 94 yards and a touchdown. But he is just not looking like himself completely. Obviously, that injury last year that he suffered that caused him to miss the entire campaign has had a lot to do with it, the majority. But there's definitely some issues. There's definitely some issues. So, I will say it's panic time in Green Bay. It's panic time. Now, the Indianapolis Colts, they're 4-5. That division is looking a little bit competitive in a sense. So, we'll see what happens going forward. We'll see what happens. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we got two more games to talk about in the NFL. Then we got some NBA, some NHL, and I'm going to update you guys on the Black Jesus, the web series project, and also another project, another web project that I've been taking part of. So we still got more. We're approaching 2:30. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Oh, damn. Now about this. Yeah. Oh. Y'all know what this is.
Game on.
Keep it down. Jack off.
Game on.
And Swiss beat. Yeah.
Me and my niggas on lick shots. We've done hip cops. Bunch of niggas can't wait till my set drop. Should you like your mama, give it lit for pop. Nigga, you don't want my paper job, cause that means I'm empty. And you're full of it. Check what the Buddha did. Misses wanna hit you, get you. Rip through tissue. Shoot another round, this cause I miss you. I make puss wow. Cash. You little niggas can't fuck with drag. Got the chain out, so it's muscle grass. Nigga, fuck that. You better boss back for your monkey ass land with the dust at. Ride like a girl, but you can't trust cats. Spit out of fire, you can't cuss black. All you what? Can do is cuss back what? And you read back. How you bust gas. Nigga, we don't need that. I don't care about your feedback. Y'all niggas don't see drag. Do a motherfucker pull out. Bust a bullet lock in your safe house. Nigga, where the keys at? Nigga, where the stash at? Nigga, where the weed at? Nigga, pass that far, pull my trigger. Matter of fact, where the ass at? Cause I got the rough part and I ain't talk about my niggas. Cause nigga, we can go hoe for hoe, toe to toe, blow for blow. Can we just see a nose guy? I mean, I broke that. I'm finna hope for with a flame dope like I told those before. You know, you can't handle. You can put me on racks or fire burn candles. Now, who the nigga rough side? Drag home, y'all niggas just shot out of
the. Do y'all niggas bust your guns? Hell yeah, we bust our guns. Do y'all fuck them till they come?
make sure you got all the yeah, alright? I'm tired of you niggas be thinking that you're using me. Running with them petty ass niggas looking like fools of me. I'm working with some change, yeah. And ain't afraid to put 50 up on your brain, yeah. You about warming over your people, I'm the same, yeah. Look, I'm gonna have somebody saying that's a shame, yeah. But if them people come, they ain't gonna give no name, yeah. Baby, the number one son of don't play no games, yeah. Come outside and see nothing but camouflage and bricks. Just get a boss back with cannons trying to knock off your shit. Just think it, bitch. It is funny.
Do y'all niggas bust your guns?
Hell yeah, we bust our guns.
Do y'all fuck them till they come?
Damn right, we make them come.
It's for the
north, hey, south, hey, east, hey, west, hey.
My pride is gonna show y'all niggas who ride the best. Do y'all niggas bust your guns?
Hell yeah, we bust our guns.
Do y'all fuck them till they come?
Damn right, we make them come.
It's for the
north, hey, south, hey, east, hey, west, hey.
My pride is gonna show y'all niggas who ride the best.
When my niggas getting out, we gon' bail them out. When it come to my gun, my shirt's out. You better get the message, cause I done mailed it out. But I'ma bang like a hammer, and I'ma nail it south. East, west, and right, there's all my niggas up north. My gun's been in China, so you better dust off. Cause when I get ya, you gon' bleed ketchup. I always got cheddar, I never ask better. And I won't leave a sweater, you gon' roll four and better. My gun was never low, but if drag is down on his last, I'ma reach in my sweater, bet my better. Make a nigga feel the heat in the cold weather. Can't stand a nigga hyped over his bitch. Bitch, come to my show, you better come get her. Cause like a dog with a bone, I run with her. Y'all make me so tired. Y'all niggas still rapping like you don't know my flow's fire. And y'all ain't got the suits, ain't got your boots. Probably got a gun that ain't never shoot. When we come, you better hope they don't name you. Cause like two sticks rubbing, I flame you. Don't try to be me, cause I ain't you. So I have your spirit with the angels. My shorty keep a gun on her ankles. Wanna fuck, watch out, she'll bang you. Cause I taught her well. Y'all plays better haul of hell. But your niggas getting ball of hell. Whoever with you is going to jail. Do your niggas bust a gun or you ain't busting none, huh? You wanna fuck them till they come, huh? Drag on, juvenile, double R, what you want?
Do y'all niggas bust your guns?
Hell yeah, we bust our guns.
Do y'all fuck them till they come?
Damn right, we make them come.
It's for the
north, hey, south, hey, east, hey, west, hey.
My pride is gonna show y'all niggas who ride the best. Do y'all niggas bust your guns?
Hell yeah, we bust our guns.
Do y'all fuck them till they come?
Damn right, we make them come.
It's for the
north, hey, south, hey, east, hey, west, hey.
My pride is gonna show y'all niggas.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is 2:30. Got a half hour left in our broadcast. Again, I apologize for the late start. It's been that kind of day. We actually have three games preview. I totally forgot about this one because I wasn't even thinking about it, but it was between the Titans and the Chargers, and it was, to me, probably the game of the week. Now, if you love entertainment, this was the game for you because it really came down to the wire, and it was definitely a fun game to watch. Just watching the highlights, I was like, man, this is football in terms of offense. In terms of offense. Now, we saw some good defensive plays happen, including the Marcus Mariota fumble in the third quarter, which Dwight Lowry recovered and returned it for 36 yards. But San Diego to be up 33-21. And then once again, San Diego made another defensive play. Brandon Flowers, a long time vet, intercepting Mariota for a 34-yard pick six. That was pretty much the game at that point. Now, the Titans got the ball back. They scored with DeMarco Murray with a touchdown run, but it wasn't enough. Chargers held on to win 43-35. Now, Mariota, despite those errors, completed 27 passes for 313 yards and three touchdowns. He also completed another interception in the game. Phillip Rivers, 24-33, 275 yards, two TDs and a sack. He had a 117.6 passer rating. Melvin Gordon, though, 32 carries, 196 yards, and a touchdown. He is definitely having a better sophomore campaign than he is a rookie campaign. Last year, he had no rushing touchdowns, and he looked like a bust. But he has definitely been balling out of control this year. And to run for 196 yards in any game is damn impressive. And obviously, Antonio Gates is still playing like he playing like 10 years ago. 5 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown in this game. Phillip Rivers definitely kind of spread the ball around. Tyrell Williams, Gordon, and then Dontrell Inman was making some catches and things like that. Both teams are 4-5. This is just a high offensive game. And I still think that the Titans have a chance to compete in the AFC South. I'm not completely sold on the Texans. And I think the Chargers, 4-5, they'll make things interesting because they've already beaten Denver once. But they will make things interesting. They're just a team that you just can't seem to get rid of until the end of the game. That offense, though, Phillip Rivers is kind of like revitalized himself a little bit. Revitalized, I would say. But they will make it interesting. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs or not because that division is so tough and the AFC is so tough. But they're definitely looking up right now. And rightfully so because the other three teams are better. But that offense is frightening. That's a tough matchup for any defense. Speaking of the AFC West, this Sunday night game, I was disappointed because my team lost, my other team, the Broncos, they lose. But if you're the Raiders, you got to be happy for them. This team is definitely... They're doing it up. They're 7-2 now. I apologize. I said that the Chiefs were 6-2 and tied with the Raiders first place. I apologize. The Raiders are actually 7-2. They're a half game over the Chiefs and a full game over the Broncos for AFC West division supremacy. But this team has just been playing well. They won the game 30-20. Derek Carr has been playing well. He only threw for 184 yards on Sunday night. He didn't throw any touchdowns. He was sacked a couple times, but they found a way to get other things going for them. I'll put it to you that way. Trevor Siemian played well. He made some mistakes, but, you know, what happens when you got a first-year starter, it happens. But the problem for the Broncos was the inability to run the ball against the Raiders' defense that is at the bottom, really, or damn near the bottom. Devontae Booker just ran 10 times for 22 yards. And Capri Bibbs had just 2 carries for 11 yards. Obviously, not having C.J. Anderson for the rest of the season, I guess, is going to hurt this running game. It's going to hurt this rushing attack. They need to get Devontae Booker more touches and open up the holes for him a little bit more. Latavius Murray was the big story, though, for the Raiders. He had 20 carries for 114 yards and 3 scores. And Jalen Richard added 8 carries for 62 yards. So this Raiders team is winning games with a balanced attack. I'm a little bit concerned with the Broncos because I thought they would be able to put some points on this bad Raider defense, but that really wasn't much of the case. Demaryius Thomas just 5 catches, 56 yards. Emmanuel Sanders just 5 catches, 47 yards. That's not going to get it done when your top 3 receivers are not catching the ball enough and not making enough plays. Gordon Norwood, just 2 catches, 66 yards. He got to score. Capri Bibbs had a 69-yard touchdown catch. Virgil Green caught a couple passes, but you need more production in the passing game. In this type of game, that's mind-boggling because the defense is so bad. But, you know, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree didn't put up stellar numbers either, but they won the game. That's the most important thing. I will say this. The Raiders, to me, they look for real. They just need to tighten up that defense because they got some good players on that side of the ball. They just need to tighten up that defense, get some stops, make some plays. Now, they kind of did that on Sunday night, but they need to do more, and they need to do better, especially if you want to compete and possibly be a threat to the Patriots. Well, right now, the Raiders, they have the second-best record in the AFC, and they got a lot to show for. They are playing some good football, especially on the offensive side. And there was also a debate on the NFL Network as opposed to who has the best receiver core, the best 1-2 receiver punch in football. And I would say I can make a certain case for Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree has been, he's got a second career now since departing San Francisco a couple years ago. And Amari Cooper, since being drafted last year, he definitely put himself on the map now. Teams are definitely respecting him more. They're double teaming him. They're game planning for him. But yet he is still out there making some big plays and putting up yards and scoring touchdowns. And Crabtree has just been a great, well, you could say he's a complimentary receiver. You may even say he's the number one wideout on the team. That's what makes this so dangerous. You don't know who's number one. It's almost like Detroit. You got Marvin Jones, you got Golden Tate, and you even got Anquan Boldin. You don't even know who the number one receiver is on that team, really, because you're so worried about these guys catching passes, even the tight ends with Ebron and Theo Riddick out of the backfield. You don't know who is the number one threat because it seems like every week it's a different guy. And in Golden Tate's case lately, he's been the guy. So it's tough to game plan when you got a dual threat in the NFL. And it's tough to game plan against two guys that you don't really know or have a good concept idea of who the number one receiver is. It's just tough to have to game plan, in a sense. So it's just tough. But the Raiders are 7-2, the Broncos are 6-3. The AFC West is going to be a wild one to watch in the second half of the season. I'm strapped in. I got my popcorn on deck. I can't wait to see. I want to see if the Raiders can hold up and win this AFC West. I want to see if they can do that. Can the Broncos get back on top, being the defending Super Bowl champions? And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to have a lot to say. So get ready. And the Chargers, like I said, they're going to make things interesting. They may not have a winning record, but they are going to make things interesting because that offense is just so lethal right now. And then finally, to cap off Week 9, we had a thriller Monday night game between the Bills and Seahawks. I didn't watch this game because I was at a networking event at this place called the Actors Loft Studio in Royal Oak, Michigan. I'll get to that later before I close out the show. It was a competitive game, though. These two teams were really going at it. It came down to the fourth quarter. The Seahawks, again, like much of the season, escaped with their teeth. They really couldn't figure out Tyrod Taylor. I mean, the Tyrod Taylor-Russell Wilson matchup was a fun one to watch for a lot of fans because of the style of play that both guys conduct at the quarterback position, the fact that those two guys are actually pretty similar to each other. This was just a good game. And it was good to see Jimmy Graham, you know, finally get himself involved in the offense for pitching two touchdown passes of 17 to 18 yards, both in the second quarter. Now, going into to halftime, the Seahawks were actually up 28-17. The Bills came back early in the fourth quarter with a touchdown run by Mike Gillisley. They converted a two-point attempt with Tyrod Taylor, who got the score. Deepa Hoska capped off a field goal later in the game. But it came down to the fourth quarter. I was everybody talking about the controversy with Richard Sherman running it to the kicker. I'm dead shocked that they did not call a penalty on him, considering him opening up his mouth and saying the stuff he's been saying about the NFL, how it's not fun anymore, and criticizing Goodell, criticizing officials, you know, the situation with Earl Thomas last week in New Orleans where he scored a touchdown, he hugged the referee, and there was a bit of controversy with that. I'm surprised they did not call running it to the kickers. Now, Dean Blandino, who is one of the BPC operating officials, he came out and said that it should have been a penalty. So that officiating crew definitely has a mark on their back. It was definitely head-scratching. Watching the highlights and things like that, it was definitely a head-scratcher, to say the least. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised that they didn't call a penalty on that, because they should have. It should have been a penalty. Because if they protect quarterbacks and kickers, when you come into contact with a kicker like that, you would expect a flag to be thrown for a penalty. And that wasn't the case. I didn't see no laundry after watching the replay. No laundry whatsoever. So Rex Ryan had a right to be upset and everything. Obviously, he went after Sherman after the game, said some things. And I thought that was interesting because Rex Ryan is not afraid to jaw at it with any player. So I definitely thought that was interesting. But nonetheless, the Bills lost at 4-5 after having an impressive winning streak. There's definitely some concerns now, but I don't know if this team is going to win the division or not. I don't think they will, because like I said, I'm sold on the Patriots in the AFC East, but I don't know if this team will make the playoffs or not, is what I'm basically referring to. So we'll see what happens. And then the Seahawks, they're 5-2-1. Can they catch Dallas? Remains to be seen. So, to cap off week 9, we definitely have some interesting matchups. I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast. I'm going to, well, actually, I'll do it when we come back from break. Yeah, we're going to take one more break. We're going to come back. We're going to predict the NFL. We're going to talk some NBA, some NHL. We've got some games going on tonight. We had some games last night. We're going to do that. We're going to make that happen because that's what we do. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We got about 10 minutes left in our broadcast, so I'm going to get through these predictions. Week 10 coming up. I got the Ravens at home to beat the Browns. They should win that game. Going into next Sunday's matchup, I'm going to take the Titans. No, actually, I'm going to take Green Bay to bounce back and beat Tennessee. I think they'll bounce back and beat them. I got Denver bouncing back, and I think they'll beat the Saints because I think that defense will be able to contain Drew Brees, and I don't think the offense of the Saints will be able to get any stops on Denver. The Saints defense is just as bad, if not worse, than the Raiders. So, but we'll see. The Raiders able to win. Maybe the Saints can win this Sunday, too. I got the Jets beating the Rams. Both teams are a mess right now, but I'm going to go with the home team. I like to pick Atlanta to beat Philadelphia, but I'm going to take the Eagles to bounce back because I think I want to see how Matt Ryan handles that those blitz packages of the Eagles. And that's going to be an angry Eagles team, by the way, too. I'm going to take the Buccaneers to beat the Bears just because I think Jameis Winston will be able to carve up that Chicago defense. I got the Redskins beating the Vikings. Yeah, that'll be Minnesota's fourth straight loss if they lose. The Chiefs and Panthers, I'm going to take Kansas City. I think the Panthers season is done because I don't think they'll come back from the start that they got themselves down from. But you never know what's going to happen. The Chiefs, like I said, last year, they should know because they were 1-5, and like I said, they went all the way to the playoffs winning their last 10 regular season games and got a shutout in the wild card round. Texans and Jaguars, I'm going to go with Houston. I'm done with Jacksonville. I'm just done with them. Miami and San Diego, this game could go either way. But I'm going to take the Chargers at home. But to me, the matchup between J&J and Melvin Gordon is going to be a fun one. Fantasy owners, get out your numbers. Get out your numbers, your calculators, all that stuff. Because it's going to be a tough one to have to pick between those two running backs if you were to pick somebody from that game. 49ers and Cardinals to take Arizona. They should win. They've already beat the 49ers. They should beat them again. That Dallas-Pittsburgh game is going to be a big one. I'm going to take the Cowboys to pull off because I think that Dak Prescott will be able to do some things against that Steelers defense, and Ezekiel Elliott will be able to do some big things against that Steelers defense as well. They can't get any stops on them. So, Seahawks and Patriots. Rematch from the Super Bowl from 2 years ago. Boy, this is going to be the game of the week. I can't wait. It's going to be on NBC again. If the Seahawks are at the one-yard line, will Russell Wilson do what he did in that Super Bowl again? We'll see. I'm going to take the Patriots. They're at home. And I don't think even the Seahawks defense will be able to shut down the Patriots offensively. I just think the Patriots are just too lethal right now. They're above all head and shoulders. In the Monday night game, I got the Bengals and Giants. I'm going to take the Giants to go up to 6-3. I think the Bengals, I think they can lose this game and still compete in the AFC West because I don't think Pittsburgh is going to beat Dallas. And I think Baltimore will win, but Baltimore will only be just like maybe a game and a half over the Bengals. So we'll see what happens. And of course, Buffalo, Detroit, Indianapolis, Oakland are all on a bye week. So Oakland, they got a comfortable division lead, as they should, but here comes Kansas City, and Denver's right behind them. Detroit, I'm pretty sure they'll sit back and watch the Green Bay-Tennessee game. I'm pretty sure they'll watch the Minnesota-Washington game. And then Buffalo, they're going to be looking at the wounds a little bit, and they're going to be, like, looking for some answers. In Indianapolis, they came off a big win. This is their best win of the season. And they are definitely going to try and figure it out in the second half of the season. Now, getting into the NBA, NBA season's been kicking off, you know, for the past couple weeks, rightfully so. And it's been a good season. So I'm impressed with the OKC Thunder. Russell Westbrook is just, give him the trophy. Just give him the trophy. Just give him the trophy. Seriously. Just give him the trophy. Give him the MVP trophy. Give him the NBA trophy, please. It's done. It's done. I mean, obviously, you can make a case for LeBron maybe even being an MVP. You can make a case for Andre Drummond being an MVP candidate. But, yeah, give it to Russell Westbrook. Give it to Russell Westbrook. He deserves it. we got some games that are going down tonight. We got Atlanta and the undefeated Cavs. Cavs are 6-0. We got Minnesota and Brooklyn. We got Denver and Memphis. I thought Minnesota was going to maybe make that turn around the corner, but they're 1-4. But it's still early. The Lakers are unbeaten at home. They host the 1-5 Mavericks team, which a lot of people thought was going to do some things, but they've been a disappointment themselves. The Pelicans, 0-7 against the Kings. Yeah, and then the 2-5 Suns against the 4-3 Charles Blazers. Damian Lillard has been playing a lot better ever since the departure of LaMarcus Aldridge. So those are the games that we got going on. Last night, we had some games that went down. We had some games that went down yesterday, including my hometown team, the Pistons, who just started their West Coast trip. Going to LA to play the Clippers, you know, Blake Griffin and company. And basically, I'm pretty sure it was a tough game. I didn't get to watch it. I was busy last night, and I'm going to get that info in a minute. But it was a tough one. They lost 114-82. Yeah, they'll be all right, though. They'll be all right. We had the Golden State. They beat the Pelicans 116-106. The Hornets beating the Pacers 122-100. Houston getting a win, a road win over Washington 114-106. Utah beating down Philadelphia 109-84. The Bulls beating over Orlando 12-80. And of course, OKC beating Miami 97-85. Like I said, Russell Westbrook deserves the MVP trophy. Just give him the damn trophy. Seriously. Nobody is going to be putting up this type of numbers this year because he's the guy on his team now. And, yeah. Yeah, I got to say. So getting into the NHL real quickly, getting into the NHL, we're almost at the end of our broadcast. But before I do that, I want to take this opportunity to send a special shout out to my good friend Hugh Ball, who is the conductor of the Actors Hall Studio in Royal Oak. We had an open house seminar last night. I got to be there for a little bit, met some people and everything. We were filming there this past week for Black Geeks, the web series. We are officially done with filming the pilot. Now we just got to get the editing done. We're halfway through episode 3, so we're definitely making some progress. So we'll be back on set again for probably another week or two, trying to get something before Thanksgiving. But it's definitely almost, it's almost like crunch time in a sense. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. Tonight in the NHL, I'll get to more of that stuff in a bit. We got the Red Wings going up against the Flyers. We got Carolina and New Jersey, Vancouver and the New York Rangers, Edmonton and Pittsburgh. We have San Jose and Washington. And we have L.A. and Toronto. So, yeah. Excuse me. But, yeah. So, we definitely got some games going on in NHL tonight. We also have Boston and Montreal, Dallas and Winnipeg, Ottawa and Nashville. And we got Arizona and Colorado. By the way, big ups to the Red Wings, my hometown team. They got a new arena. It's going to cost just about $700,000. It went from $105 million to now $733 million. So, but it's coming. It's coming. So this is definitely their last season at the Joe. But kudos to them. But anyway, I want to send a special shout-out to everybody that's been on set with us filming for Black Jesus, the web series. We've definitely been doing some phenomenal things an incredible time. So. But thank you to everyone who has been helping us out. Special shout-out to Marlene Massazoy, who plays Mother Mary. They've been doing some great things with the comedy at the crib. Just so many great guys. Eric Thomas, his son, you know, looking forward to those, working with those guys some more. And just everybody doing some phenomenal things. So thank you to everyone who's been part of this project and who will be part of the project in the future. Our pilot is airing Friday night, December 23rd, on YouTube, and then the rest of the series will be airing on Vimeo after that. So stay tuned, because there's more. There's more coming. So Big ups to everybody, to my homegirl, LaVonya Ratliff, being a great makeup artist that she is, phenomenally talented. Thank you guys for all your support. Shout out to everybody that's doing their thing. Get out there and vote today. Do what you got to do. We'll be back on air again next time. So till then, this is the Rocket Sports Breakdown. See you next time.